Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose perfect love toward his Father and mankind has fulfilled his law for us, dear fellow redeemed. How would you answer that question? What would you say in answer to the question, what is the most important, the greatest commandment in God's law? Well, last Sunday in our Bible class, we learned that if we could keep the first commandment by perfectly respecting, fearing, perfectly trusting, and perfectly loving God, then we would keep all the rest of them. So that first commandment sounds pretty important to me. But what about the fourth? Honoring your parents and those in authority. So the fifth, not killing. Sixth, not committing adultery. Seventh, not stealing. Which one would you choose as being the most important, the greatest of all of the commandments? This morning we see the Pharisees, who were Jesus' bitter opponents, trying to trap Jesus in his answer. In their self-righteous pride, these Pharisees believed that they didn't need God's grace. They didn't need forgiveness and salvation. And since they rejected Jesus as the Messiah and saw how popular he was among the people, that ignited their hatred against him. And they continually tried to publicly embarrass or criticize Jesus in front of the people. But every time they tried to trap him, Jesus would answer with the word and easily thwart their attempts. The Pharisees were immersed in God's law. We mentioned this a couple years ago in one of our sermons. The Pharisees broke down God's commands into 613 commandments. 613 of them. 248 positive commands and 365 negative commands. And then they spent their time in such useless way by trying to determine which of these commands was most important. In other words, if you sin against this one, if you sin against this one, is that a worse sin or is this a worse sin? And so now they sent one of their experts in the law to go to Jesus and ask him, "What do you think is the most important of all the commands of God?" They felt that this is a loaded question. And they hoped it would blow up in Jesus' face. I mean, 613 commandments? Who could choose one who is the most important of all of them? And there's probably many people that had different ideas and different opinions. This would surely cause controversy among the people, and Jesus would lose some followers. But Jesus simply turned to the Word. He quoted Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." That's the greatest one. That's the summary of the first three commandments, the first table of the law. It's a summary of, "You shall know the gods. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And what is God commanding? What kind of love? Perfect love. Perfect love. From all of our heart, from all of our soul, and all of our mind. It's not a kind of love that's emotional. It's a love of action. It's the highest form of love there is. That's agape love. The kind of love that God has for us sinners. A love that is always unselfish, always doing, caring, and serving the other one. A love that is always selfless. And that was how man was created. Adam and Eve were originally planned to serve God, love, honor, worship, and glorify Him, their Creator, throughout eternity with this perfect agape love. But then Jesus says, the second is much the same. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is the summary of the second table of the law. All the rest of the commandments. Honor your father and your mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not covet. Do not bear false witness. What's Jesus saying by laying this answer before this Pharisee? Well, first of all, he's answering the question and saying, well, there's only two very great commandments, this and that. And we read in the Gospel of Mark where this same event is described. After that, no one dared question him. He answered, and they couldn't find any fault with his answer. But secondly, the Lord's laying this law of God before that Pharisee and before us as a mirror. A mirror shows us our image, our likeness. It truthfully reflects what we look like. Well, the law is a mirror. It reflects our likeness, our image, as to what we are like. It shows our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We look into the mirror of the law, what do we see? Perfect love? Perfect love for God? Far from it. For every time we sin, we push God out of that first place in our hearts. In fact, every sin we commit is a sin against God's first commandment. Because if we would have feared, loved, or trusted in God above all things, we wouldn't have broken those other commandments. So every sin smashes the first commandment as well. We break the second commandment anytime any curse words come across our mouth. Anytime we needlessly or uselessly swear and use God's name. Or if we're a hypocrite in some way. We break the third commandment by despising God's word, by not coming regularly to His church, by not reading at home the word of God, by not listening to it, by not trusting the Lord. And of course we break all the other commandments when we don't love our neighbor as ourselves. John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 4:20, if someone says, I love God, and then hates his neighbor, his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Just a quick, superficial glance into the mirror of God's law shows us the many warts and wrinkles and pimples and flab of our sins that we do every single day. And there is no wrinkle cream or acne wash or dietary supplement that can cleanse us. We see our loveless actions toward those we work with, toward our neighbors, to the people we meet. We hear our loveless words often towards our spouse, our children, our parents, other loved ones. And each of us, better than anyone else, knows those lustful, selfish, often angry thoughts that we have in our hearts toward other people. How far from love, much less perfect love, we all are. The law is not only a mirror, it thunders down upon us. It condemns us. It shows our sinful image. I am a sinner through and through. That's what Scripture tells me. He says, we're dead in sins. There is nothing good in our sinful nature, that every inclination of our sinful heart is evil from its youth, and that our sinful mind is an enmity, that is hostile, at war with God. That's how the Spirit uses the law of God. To lead us to despair of ourselves, to lead us to acknowledge our own miserable condition, to realize that no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, we can't have perfect love toward God, nor the kind of love that we are to have for each other. What a blessing that mirror is. Even though our sinful nature hates it, our old Adam despises to hear it, it's a blessing for that law to show us our sins and lead us to realize, I cannot save myself. So the Spirit uses the law to bring us face to face with the mirror of the law and see our sins. But notice who that God is, whom we're to love with all our thought, mind, and soul. Who that Lord is who lays this commandments upon us. It is the Lord Jehovah, the I Am God, the God who has made that wonderful relationship again with us sinners. The God who not only promised to send, but did send his Savior, Jesus, as our substitute. And the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. His unconditional, perfect love for us led him to come into this world to keep that law of God for us. He loved his Father with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his mind, all of the time. He loved his neighbor, the whole world, all of the time. He never had one sinful thought. Never spoke one sinful word. Never did one sinful action. He always did what was right. He never did what was wrong. And he did this all the time for all of us and all of mankind. Wow, that's perfect love. You know, God doesn't gloat when we sin. He's not gleefully rubbing his hands together and rejoicing we're caught in the trap, like the policeman might be who is out there watching us speed and they go, gotcha, and then gives us a ticket. No, he hates it when we sin. But his love for us led him to send his Son to take our place, to pay that fine, to pay the punishment for all of our sins. And Jesus' perfect love for us led him to come to this earth, to be placed under God's wrath, and take our punishment, to suffer and die, to pay for the guilt and the punishment of every single sinner ever conceived in the history of this world. Jesus removed that barrier of sin, and he made us sinful creatures at one with our Heavenly Father by removing our sins and giving us his righteousness. The Apostle Paul describes some of that in Romans chapter 5, 8 to 10. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the Spirit uses the law to make the law show us a mirror and see our sins. But the Spirit also uses the gospel to bring us face to face with the keeper of that law, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that same Savior living in our hearts through faith, will we move to want to love our God with all our heart, soul, and mind? Will we move to want to love one another as ourselves? The Lord tells us in John, we love him because he first loved us. In Christ alone we have the power, the desire, and the motive to love God and to serve God and to love one another and to serve each other. Perfect love is what God still demands in His law. And we cannot meet such demand, no matter how hard we try, no more than we can raise the dead, or walk on water, or stop the wind. We desperately need God's perfect and unconditional love that is found in His Son, Jesus Christ. And God showers His forgiving love upon us in His gospel. The good news that tells us what Jesus has done for us by keeping the law and then by dying upon the cross to pay for our guilt. And with that Savior living in us, we are empowered and we are inspired to live for God and to serve one another. Salvation free by faith in Thee. That is Thy gospel's preaching, the heart and core of Bible lore in all its sacred teaching. In Christ we must put all our trust, not in our deeds or labor. With conscience pure and heart secure, love Thee, Lord, and our neighbor. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.